Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show as we set sail on Hour 2, Canada's only morning sports talk show. If you're out east, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us for coffee today, Caliber Coffee. I would love to know what you're talking about out there on the Prairie Mobile text line. How about that? If you want to steer the discussion, 306-840-8777. That's the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. Prairie Mobile just opened a new customer engagement store in Saskatoon in Hampton Village. Stop on by and check them out. The poll question today as we roll through business to open up Hour 2 for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center is, who will be the Bombers Week 1 starting quarterback next year? I know, it's only December, but it's topical. Heading into free agency, 50% of respondents say that it will be Matt Nichols on the Twitter poll. I can't quite see what it says on Facebook, but it... Oh, here we go. Thank you, guys. Yeah, close to 50% saying the same thing for Matt Nichols. Several voting for Zach Collaros.
That's pretty even.
I just don't think they know what they're talking about.
Well,
that's what I think.
Yeah, it's history. It's, you know what's most familiar, and he just won a Grey Cup. So you want to win another Grey Cup, so you kind of just want that exact same team, and you think they can win again next year. So I think that's where fans come in. They're just still in love with the idea that they just won, and Zach Collaros was the guy who did it, so we want him back.
And a football person was in here earlier today and said that Zach Collaros has a deal done with Toronto already. And I don't even know whether that's true or not. I mean, you realize we hear a lot of bunk in this world, but the reason I'm surprised by this, people think that Zach Collaros is going to re-sign in Winnipeg. I thought it was done deal that he's going to Toronto. That's the word in football. So I'm surprised so many people are voting for him to be their week one starter next year. So some of the things we'll kick around. Addison Richards in the bunker with us, CFL alum, U Sports alum, and of course, Dupes. And coming up, U of C Dinos head football coach Wayne Harris Jr. Every Thursday, though, we do the Sask Snowbeef WHL prospect profile, brought to you by our friends at Sask Snowbeef, the most delicious beef in, on the prairies. I was going to say in this province, but all the prairies. Wagyu beef, yeah. Superior marbling, superior taste. It's so good when it hits your lips.
It just melts
snow
in your
beef.
Mouth.
Yeah, it melts in your mouth.
It does.
Can you bring it up, Clark? There it is. Connor Zeri of the Kamloops Blazers. He's a Saskatoon kid, 6 foot, 180. He is eligible for next year's, this upcoming summer's NHL draft. Leading the Blazers in scoring this season. The scouting report from our good friend Jeremy Corrigan. CKPG Sports says he's got good speed and drive, gets to the dirty areas, not scared to throw the body, high hockey IQ. Sounds like the perfect player to me.
Yeah, and they're going to be making their trip through Saskatchewan. I know they're going to be in Saskatoon, and I think Regina, Moose Jaw, PA. So they're coming soon, later this month. When we get back from Houston, I think it's the weekend after we get back, they're going to be making their trip in before Christmas.
Connor Zeri of the Kamloops Blazers Saskatoon product is our Sask Snowbeef WHL prospect for this week. So thank you so much, and keep it rolling, Connor. Prairie Mobile text line, anonymous texter, just a random, says from the 381, how great is this show? You have one of the all-time best players in the CFL just hanging out and chatting. I think he's referring to you, Addison.
I was going
to
say, short, but one of the best.
He's talking about Nick Lewis, I think, from last hour. No, it is so great. Here we go. Thank you from Cal in the 515. Mr. Rod Peterson, thoughts on Jason Maas replacing McAdoo? Is this valid talk or take it straight out the door speculation? Your thoughts. Would he fit in with the Rough Riders? Thanks. Well, again, in the offseason, CFL coaches sit around like old women and just kibitz, right? It's just idle chatter, I think.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's fun. You know, women call it gossip, men call it rumors. And the rumors that he's going to BC following Rick Campbell to BC to be the offensive coordinator of the BC Lions. I don't know what Craig Dickinson's history is with Jason Maas. It would appear nothing. I don't think they've ever been on the same staff together. And I don't think you can discount Craig Dickinson's supporter relationship with Stephen McAdoo. They won a Grey Cup together in 2015 with the Eskimos. They've been through the wars here together. This is not a move that Craig Dickinson would make lightly. Now, the general manager, Jeremy O'Day, does not have those ties. And from what I've known in my time, GMs have every bit as much hand in this as the head coach does. Not just here, but everywhere. So how much credence is there to Jason Moss coming to Saskatchewan to be the offensive coordinator? I would say not a lot. What does Lynch say? Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
And there's smoke that Moss is going to the BC Lions. Addy, over to you, because you're in football circles more than me.
Yeah, I would say it's probably going to happen where Moss is going to follow Campbell to BC. I don't see him coming to Saskatchewan. I think that McAdoo did enough this year, even though in the biggest game he made some questionable decisions. But I think that he did enough and probably earned the trust of Cody going through his first full season. I think to make a change at this point, it would be somewhat disastrous. And I think your earlier guest kind of had the same assessment where, you know, in the Grey Cup year, you want that continuity from the previous year. I think McAdoo has to just not, you know, overthink things, especially with, you know, what he did with Bennett in the playoff game. I personally didn't agree with. I thought that was kind of a bonehead move, but I think he's done enough to stay. And I think to blow that side of the ball up would be pretty bad at this point.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. It'd be real crazy. And for Jason Moss too, he's got to be self-aware about, you know, what made him a real quality head coaching candidate, being an offensive coordinator, working with Rick Campbell. It set him up to be the head coach in Edmonton. And now, you know, if you want to go back and prove that you're still a valuable commodity as a coach, go back into that situation where you're super comfortable and you've got maybe one of the, if not the top quarterback in the CFL or top two or three anyway, in Mike Riley. That's a great, and one of the top receivers in the CFL too. It's a good situation. There's a lot of toys there for Jason Moss to play Absolutely. With in BC.
Yeah, but what about the fact the quarterback makes between 15 to 20% of the entire payroll and what it's done? I mean, Clay Brooks was handcuffed by that, and whoever the next head coach was going to be handcuffed by that too. I saw Rick Campbell say at his news conference on Monday that there's a ton of untapped potential here on this roster. I'm sure that's true, but the way the salary caps align there in BC, that hasn't changed. I mean, how much of a elephant in the room is that, do you think, Addison?
I think it's pretty big. I think it handcuffs what you can do with certainly pulling in quality free agents, being able to re-sign guys from your own team that are going to be free agents. And I mean, if you have a guy making that much money, I mean, you know, the expectations are sky high, especially that position. And, you know, seeing what he went through last year physically and just getting so beat up with not a ton of real support, you know, from his offensive line and whatnot. I think that is a big deal. I don't know what the terms are in terms, like if you can restructure or do anything like that in the offseason for a contract in the CFL. I don't know the
ins and outs. Not unless
of that.
The player wants to, and I don't think Mike Riley wants to.
Well, I mean, hey, why not? You're going to get paid regardless. Shoot, why would you give away your money? But I mean, if you want the team to be successful, you know, maybe there's some leeway there where you can give up a little bit to bring in another piece to make everything else more successful.
Well, I've heard many, many stories in it of players being asked to take pay cuts in the CFL, particularly here in the past. And one thing I love is I've had people write into the show. You've probably seen the tweets, Darren,
yep.
And Facebook messages are like, we could listen to you tell Ryder stories all day. Well, kids, here's one. Pull up a chair. Roger Aldag, early 90s or late 80s, gets called in and asked to take a pay cut by the general manager. I guess it was Alan Ford, so it would have been early 90s. Well, if you know Roger, he's going to take it. Whatever's best for the team, right? So he takes his pay cut, and then Alan Ford can bring in a host of, to Elgard and Jurison and all these. Well, Roger took one, why can't you? Right.
Oh, so they so hate him.
Well, that's just Raj. Being Raj.
Yeah.
You know, now this is different world, different era. But Mike Riley, it's $750,000 a year, whatever it is. It just doesn't seem to me that he's that interested in taking a pay cut. And I'll say it again. Why would he be? The team gave it to him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's their problem.
And if they were going to, somebody else was. Right, if you believe the rumors and that the Riders were in on Bo Levi at $700,000 or $800,000 or whatever the numbers were, there were other teams that were going to pay that price tag. So, Yeah, it's not Riley's fault. If they weren't going to give it to him, somebody else was. It's not just that BC was stupid and spent all their money.
Switching gears, I have written down here, hashtag me too. Addison, you're coaching young people in football. This latest Me Too movement has stretched to hockey, not football yet. But are you and your buddies talking about it at all and, you know, abusive coaches being called out?
Personally, the group of coaches that I'm with, they're very young to begin with. So they're very, you know, understanding that the kids that were, you know, mentoring, coaching, they have a lot going on outside of the sport. So when they come to us, it's supposed to be sort of a getaway or a safe place, whether or not you like that term, but we want it to be a safe place. I do think that there needs to be, not just in hockey, football, across the board in coaching, there needs to be sort of this mindset change from being, you know, the hard-ass coach to being not soft, but just being a little more understanding that, you know, you're coaching human beings that have a lot of problems outside of the game. So I think that regardless of if you're a young or an old coach, you need to be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just listening to you talk. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
You're done?
That's all I got. Yeah.
Well, no,
that's my 2 cents.
I have not yet. I'm enjoying talking about it every day. I think talking about it is the best first step.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Dave O'Brien, former head scout of the Spokane Chiefs, writing on Facebook last night, tagging his former coach in the SJHL, Mark Odnikon, and saying, "Mark, thank you for everything you did for me 25 years ago. At the time, I didn't like it, and I thought you were being unfair. Now that I'm your age, then I understand what you were doing. Thanks for all you did." And I thought, I wrote in there, I said, "Guys, let's keep this going. We got to get this positive stuff going." Because anybody that's not in hockey or not in sport, and let's be frank, that is the majority of society's not involved in sport, are looking at sports going, "What is going on in that culture? It's horrible."
I know.
And it's not that horrible. Now, furthermore, Austin Davis sat in that chair yesterday. And by the way, we'll be bringing him back lots. Because I'm oil, he's water. And we've got differing viewpoints. He said what Mike Babcock did to Mitch Marner, what did he call it? Mental torture?
Yeah.
That's what he called it. And then earlier in the program, we had Alan May on, the Washington Capitals analyst, who said, it's big deal, what he did to Mitch Marner. That's the difference in opinions.
Yeah.
You want to talk about mental torture? I'll talk to you about my friends from the Canadian Armed Forces. And I'll talk to you about what they've gone through. And what just boot camp was designed to do, to make them mentally tough. So is it the player's fault? Not saying Mitch Marner is a mental midget, but somebody who's emotionally incapable of taking any kind of criticism. Is any coach on the hook because he hurt that kid's feelings? Because where did this all start? With Mike Babcock being fired in Toronto, Mitch Marner said, "He did this to me."
Yeah.
Well, that's not physical abuse.
And let's make a...
Was it wrong? Probably. And that's where I started by saying, if you think Mike Babcock is the only coach to play head games, you really have no idea how sports works.
Well,
and then it started this whole trickle down that's nowhere near done yet.
Did it ever. And let's remember, though, Mike Babcock didn't get fired for how he treated Mitch Marner. Mike Babcock got fired because he wasn't winning hockey games.
Right, but it went sideways fast.
But it went sideways really quickly. And there's different things that work for different people and for different groups. That Leafs team was in a real funk and in a real tough spot. They were starting this rebuild when Mike Babcock came along. And so his, like, you mentioned boot camp, that tough kind of structure and let's get everybody on the same page worked. It got 100-point seasons, record-setting years. The Leafs were on the right path. Now, we know that that's not the way to keep everybody happy and on the same page for a long term. You know, it's about, you know, I see this with, you know, different situations, but think of like families. You have kids and they come from different places and you go to camp and you got to bring some structure. So you got to be tough and you add some of that structure. But in order for a whole life of love and to have success, you have to have a little bit of that softness, the caring and all those different things. So it's about, what do you want out of your coach? Do you want somebody who's going to be with this group for 20 years and be able to build relationships and all that stuff? And that's great. Or do you need somebody to turn things around really quickly? It's the boot camp thing. And everybody's sitting here looking at it from another perspective. You mentioned so few of us are in sports. It's an extraordinary environment. They're getting paid millions of dollars. Their pressure to win is so great. And you're looking for every edge, every chance. You need their focus. It's much like the military. Your life is on the line in the military. So you better be tough and rigid and focused, and you're going to deal with, you don't have time to sit there and enjoy the moment or breathe the fresh air or look at the flowers.
No, you don't.
It's life and death. And the same thing with winning. You take one shift off or one period off or one workout off. You lose the game. That turns into lost revenue, and all of a sudden you lose your job and now you're on the street. So it's a lot different than yours and my day-to-day life or day-to-day job.
I'm really enjoying your analysis of that. And with the boot camp that the armed forces go through and the Air Force and the naval officers, I'm not sure if it's 6 weeks or 8 weeks. One of them was just telling me about it the other day. One of my friends, Brad's watching the show this morning. He's been texting me as the show goes along. You tell me how long the boot camp is, because like they are mentally breaking you down to build you back up, right? And for people that don't understand why I do not miss the sports world, it's always been that way, but it's way worse now because there's so much more pressure, because there's so much more money on the line.
Yeah.
And there's so less loyalty. You know what I'm saying? It was okay to deal with. And I'm just, for the most part, watching it, but I'm around these guys all the time, and it's not a lot of fun when they're losing. And part of the reason why I love it so much, this new life, being an ambassador for the SJHL, I wanted to fit this story in because you thought it was pretty funny last night.
Yeah.
So I'm in Notre Dame. You'll like this, Addy. I'm in Notre Dame. You must have played against Notre Dame in football back in the day. High school, I would think.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
You've been out there? So the Notre Dame Hounds are playing the Battlefords North Stars. And one thing I love doing is connecting people, bringing them together. So I have the Notre Dame Hounds broadcaster, Jamie Neugebauer. We're in the lobby of the rink. And my friend John Baker of the Battleford Stars walks up. And I'm like, John, come on over. You got to meet Jamie with the Hounds. And I said, Jamie, this guy, John, I'll tell you what, the North Stars wouldn't even be here tonight if it wasn't for this guy. And Jamie sticks his hand out and goes, what do you do with the Stars? He goes, I'm the bus driver.
Wow.
And John broke out laughing. He's like, you tell that every time. I'm like, it never gets old. They wouldn't be here without this guy.
Yeah.
He's a bus driver.
That's so great. That's so awesome.
We got our sports update coming up on the other side. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get savings up to $15,000 or finance rates as low as 0% up to 84 months on select new inventory. Plus, every single one of our new 2019 models has had its price heavily discounted. Celebrate the most wonderful time of year with Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Getting ready for a sports update here. Apologize, I'm just editing it as we go because we got into a visit in the break. And Darren went and coughed up a lung.
Yeah, not
he's
this
still,
break.
He's still alive.
I'm alive.
Is it Wednesday? Wednesday morning sports update. The Ottawa Senators continue their trip through Western Canada as they get set to take on the Edmonton Oilers. The Sens coming off a 5-2 loss last night in Vancouver. According to yesterday's poll, the Oilers are not Stanley Cup contenders. Now you know.
Now you know.
The Maple Leafs home to the Colorado Avalanche tonight. The Leafs lost 6-1 in Philly last night, ending starting goalie Frederik Andersen's four-game win streak. Also tonight, LA hosts Washington. The Blues are at Pittsburgh. The Winnipeg Jets have claimed center Nick Shore off waivers from the Maple Leafs. He had 2 goals and 1 assist in 21 games for the Leafs this season. The Argos have announced they've re-signed linebacker Bear Woods to a 2-year extension. The 32-year-old has 376 defensive tackles, 15 sacks, 3 picks, and 6 forced fumbles in his CFL career with Montreal and Toronto. In the NBA tonight, the Bucks look for their 13th win in a row when they take on the Pistons in Detroit. The Bucks have won each of their last 2 games by more than 40 points. We should get into the NBA chat with Addy because that is his second favorite sport. And we will. It's about all I have. That is the Wednesday morning sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, where they're watching this morning. Good morning, guys and gals. See you at Wendell's. Corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. And for Seat Giant, stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. Clark telling me here, too, that lefty Cole Hamels and the Atlanta Braves have agreed on a 1-year, $18 million deal. That from ESPN. Thank you, Clark. He is the resident baseball guy. Can you put that comment? Oh, here's Brad, my Army buddy. He says, in my day, basic officer training was 13 long weeks followed by 12 weeks of basic Army officer training. That's a long time.
Unreal.
And those are like 12-hour days, I believe the one soldier was telling me. You want to talk about mental toughness with these guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
You need it. I think the biggest thing, just to kind of put a bow on that maybe, and maybe not, because we'll keep talking about this because it's topical, but education. I think, you know, when you see these guys come out of it and they get to the other side and realize all the mental trauma they've got, or that they just, you know, aren't prepared to deal with life after sports, I think it's the education. They need to know what they're getting into. And if you know what you're signing up for, you want to have this extraordinary life, then you're going to have to go through extraordinary measures to get it. Brad's comment, and people could read it up there when it was up, that just so few people even get through the training to get to the end line. And it's the same thing with hockey. You know, so few people can actually put in the dedication. If you want to be an NHL player, and same thing, and you know, with football, that better be your life. There's not a lot of time for video games or playing basketball or hockey or going on vacations or doing all these different things. It better be football. There's no late night runs to McDonald's and sleeping in till noon the next day and doing all those things. You can't live a normal life. But you're not getting paid like a normal person either. It's the same thing with celebrities. You can't go grocery shopping. You can't do that.
Boo-hoo.
That's what you're signing up for. Right?
I know, but somebody don't understand it.
You don't understand it. So just understand what you're getting into.
Great comments from our viewers. Hopefully none of this, I want to read them all. Mark Anderson, he is at Hanley School in Hanley, Saskatchewan, coach of the Sabres football team. He says, coaches have to make tough decisions and look to the best for the whole team. How do you do that without hurting feelings? And it just slid off the screen. Dang it! it's here. Thank you. How do you do that without hurting some feelings? Abuse? No. Honesty and taking some edges off for the good of the team? Yes. But how do you balance that? My doctor in Texas said to me, you need to lose 30 pounds. He told me that 1 month ago today. It hurt my feelings. It did. I could turn around and say, you're saying I'm fat. He's just being honest.
I know.
And he was right. See where I'm going?
Yep. Can I do a pause? Are you laughing at Rob's comment?
Can you put the one up about the guy with the basic training in the 70s with the Air Force? Because now we got the soldiers in on this, and I appreciate it. Wayne says, I was in the armed forces back in the 70s, and boot camp was tough. I don't know what it's like now, but I assume it's still tough. Back in the 70s, boot camp was 11 weeks, Rod. I know that I shouldn't be comparing society to the armed forces, but now that I'm spending so much time around these guys, you literally come away going, wow, and I thought I had problems. Like, it really puts you in perspective. It's the best thing that I've ever done. Now, I know an 11-year-old kid has not been broken down mentally in boot camp, and you know, we'll have a tough time being yelled at. But can we come a little further from being so soft?
Yeah.
As a society? I don't know. Now, you had a comment you said you
No, were. Just one. I was just reading the comments. You saw Rob's comment up there. Peterson, all I'd say is just DM me, Rob. That's it.
Rob,
I just want to DM me, and we'll make it happen.
And I want to address Nelson's comment on the NFL-CFL player option window. But so Rob Peterson, don't get confused. Don't adjust your set. Rob Peterson, my brother from another mother, Realty One, longtime sponsor of mine, has written in from Phoenix. He says, do a few shows from Arizona this year, Rod. We will set you up. Take it on the road. Canada to Arizona, buddy. Hi from Rob and Brad. And Brad is Brad Elberg, the former first-round pick of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Answer to a great trivia question. Who's the first-round pick of the Riders who never played a game for the Rough Riders? That would be Brad Elberg. Ended up playing with the Argos and the Bombers. Don't ask him. It's a sore subject. So to the NFL-CFL thing. Thank you, Nelson. You should come in here more and bring up topics. Addy, you see where it's at, right? The NFL, just this morning I was reading, will not work out players that are currently under contract to the CFL, regardless of the fact they're in that option year, that window of their last deal. And they used to always do it, but NFL teams used to always allow CFL players to come down to work out that still had a year left on their contract. Now they're not doing it. I know this is a little complex, but the football, it's a pretty big deal. And if you read the same article, it said players and agents are upset in the CFL because of this.
Big time.
Finally, it's not the CFL's fault.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of that. This is the NFL's fault. And I could all see, why would they work out a player that's under contract to another league in the first place? Why would they do that? Why did they ever do that? That's how I see it. How do you see it?
I mean, it just gives them a chance to kind of weigh their options in free agency, see if they see how they stack up, see if teams even want them to begin with. And I don't know if there was a guy already in Oakland to try out, and then his workout got postponed.
Nick Usher?
Was he already in Oakland?
Sounded that way, yeah. Farhan had that report.
That would be quite a disappointment. You're all the way there, ready to go through this workout, and then you're told, no, like, there's been this change, and you can't try out now. So it hurts those guys a bit. It kind of forces their hand to maybe they're thinking they have to stay with that CFL team for another season before being an outright free agent and then trying their NFL opportunity. But I don't know what the problem is. In the past, it hasn't been that big of an issue.
I mean, no, now it is.
Dozens of guys over the past few years have had their successful season and then they want to test their luck because everybody wants to have that chance. You know, you want to see how far you can go. If you end up being sent back to the CFL, so be it. You come back here and you be a star and you get a big deal.
All of a sudden, the NFL has a problem with it and they never have. I don't know what's changed in between and the article doesn't say. But it was Nick Usher, D. Lyman, had a tryout with the Raiders and then they postponed it for this reason. And I don't know if he was in Oakland or not. And I guess you'd be upset. I wouldn't. I'd go to Under Armour and the Golden Corral. I would take the opportunity, which I love to do, which is where you can find me in Houston for the next, by the way. Under Armour, Outlet Store, and the Golden
Corral. I've never been to a Golden Corral.
You're a big
Corral.
Golden Corral guy?
Why do you think I need to lose 30
pounds? When I was in San Antonio 4 or 5 years ago, I was there with my brother. He was playing in a football game there. We lived on NFL Network growing up. And they always did ads for Golden Corral, and we're finally down in the States.
And you went.
The closest one was a $70 cab ride.
And you did it.
We did it.
Oh, of course. Was it worth it?
Oh, it was worth it.
Yes!
It was worth it. It was fantastic.
It is so good.
Take me to the Golden Corral, Rod. I've never been. I'm excited.
My wife is anti-buffet. That's why she doesn't need to lose 30 pounds like I do. I took her to Golden Corral in West Palm Beach last winter, and she's a fan.
Really?
She's in. How can America's finest buffet? Ask Jeff Foxworthy. Nelson goes on to say the list of players eligible to work out in the NFL is long. He's got Nate Hawley of the Calgary Stampeders. Thank you, Nelson, for this. D. Lyman, Kwaku Boateng of the Eskimos, Riders, O. Lyman, Dakota Shepley, Montreal offensive lineman Trey Rutherford. Now, I did in my top 10 column today, the top 10 things. I had Dakota Shepley in there as my five free agents, top five free agents for the Riders. I was confused by all of this because I knew somewhere I'd read Shepley's eligible to work out in the NFL, and my pea brain just connected that, well, he must be a free agent then, but he's not. He's eligible by virtue of this window. To Joe Blow fan, this is incredibly confusing.
Yeah.
Totally.
No, it is. And for the guys, the window is so small. Your career window is so small, too. Kind of reminds me of, like, the Olympic Games. You know, every 4 years is all you get in your sport. And if you're dealing with an injury 2 weeks before the games and you miss that chance, that might be your only shot. And so for the window to be closed, I mean, that might be your only shot to go down there. 1 year later or 2 years later, it's a completely different game. You're in a completely different spot in your career.
For sure. But somebody was bringing that up the other day about, you know, maybe a guy had a bad mini camp and his career is over and that poor guy. And I said, no. I was on a flight out of Tampa Bay with a lady whose boyfriend slept in and missed his alarm at a Bomber mini camp at Bradenton. And of course, he shows up late and the Bomber's like, beat it. That sucks.
Wow.
Like, yeah, that's terrible. I mean, at least you get on that other guy they were talking about got on the field. Maybe he sucked there, but that's his own fault. This guy didn't even get on the field because his alarm didn't go off. That's the rate. That's how thin it is. And you know that, Addison.
Well, the lineup to be in your spot is huge.
You know, right, when, and you blow it.
When you get there, you're the 1% of the 1% that make the jump to whether it's the CFL or the NFL. So yeah, you better be on point. You better have everything in line. Like, oh, that poor guy.
I've seen that happen. Ugh. I've seen that happen. Yeah. And I also don't know how big you are. It feels like it's just us talking and not thousands of people watching, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're obviously big on nutrition.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Got to be.
When did you become serious about nutrition as an athlete?
Well, growing up for certain, you know, financial reasons, it was kind of you eat what's put in front,
what's
of,
in front of you,
right?
Yeah.
But into university, you start to think, well, like if I feel my body better, then I get more out of my workouts and then I'm just better conditioned, bigger, faster, stronger, all that. So probably early on university, started to take care of that a lot more.
The reason I bring it up was we were at a camp with the Riders, and I can't remember if it was Vero Beach or Bradenton. I think it was Bradenton. But there was this D lineman that was just like Godzilla, just mauling everybody. He looked like, made Cameron Wake look like a weakling. And by 11:30, he was just like, no, out of energy. And Chris Jones was right in his face going, did you eat breakfast? And the guy's like, no. And Jones, what's wrong with you? But I realized the importance of getting your energy in the morning, because I don't think that kid realized that Jones was going to literally work them into the ground, literally into the ground, right? And now since we've done these sports conferences that I do, we've brought in a nutrition coach to speak to that. So that's why it's interesting you said university. If you have the means, not bad getting on nutrition a lot earlier than university.
Totally.
Yeah, right there was a perfect snapshot of why you need to take this seriously.
Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah, it's one of those nutrition and recovery are two of those big things that are now a big deal, but for a long time they were just kind of taken for granted. You know, you work really hard on the field or in the gym, and then you just eat whatever, and you don't really worry about your recovery after that. But it's big business now.
This couldn't have been more clear. It's like those, I don't know if you guys remember, like a action figure that's battery died. Maybe you're not old enough, but it was just like, that's what this guy was like. And I'm like, wow, all because he didn't eat breakfast.
You got to wind him up again.
Yeah, why change the batteries? Yeah. Anyways, I believe we've got Wayne Harris Jr. coming up, the head coach of the Calgary Dinos. I should read a text message before we break. Lieutenant Commander, am I saying that right? Royal Canadian Navy, Don Mitchell writing in from Ottawa on the mental toughness. He says, in 1989, it was 13 weeks for officers. I think it's 10 weeks now. He says, I'll up the Army with almost a year of officer of the watch training in the fleet. 25% failure rate, Don says. I guess those are people that don't make it through boot camp. But I was talking to one soldier not that long ago. And he's like, well, now they get weekends off. Now their girlfriends get to come visit. Now they get a phone. In my day, no parents, no girlfriends, no phones.
It wasn't boot camp at Soul Cycle.
Even that's changed.
Yeah.
So maybe I shouldn't compare Army boot camp to life, but I personally do for me and literally say, what am I bitching about? If what these guys and girls are going through, it actually changes your perspective on life. We'll break, and I understand we will have Wayne Harris Jr., the head coach of the Dinos, next. You can leave, Addy, if you want.
I'll stick around.
Okay, good. I know it hurts him to see the Dinos as national champions. That's why. We'll chat with Coach Harris when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday morning on episode number 129 of the Rod Peterson Show. Famous number 29s. We've been compiling a list. Eddie Davis, Eric Dickerson, Ken Dryden, Mike Palmateer. You can add to the list Nathan McKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah. Just ahead of Wayne Harris, can you let me know when he's ready, Clark? In the dub last night, the Swift Current Broncos, who have been in the middle of all these stories with their trainer, Jamie LeBlanc, who's not their trainer anymore, they lost last night in Brandon 7-3. Tonight, they keep on trucking into Winnipeg, the Broncos do. Warriors lost in Edmonton last night 3-1. Medicine Hat spanked Lethbridge 8-3. Portland blanked Prince George 3-0, and it was Spokane over Seattle 4-1. In the dub tonight, along with the Broncos at Winnipeg, it's Moose Jaw at Red Deer, Everett at Lethbridge, Portland at PG, and Vancouver at Victoria. In the SJ last night, out in Wilcox, I called it with Jamie Neugebauer. Notre Dame beat Battlefords 3-2 in overtime. That was the first loss for the Stars other than Yorkton. They were 26-3 going in. All three losses were to Yorkton. I told you that was their kryptonite.
Yeah.
And last night they lost an OT to the Stars. Melford beat Melville 2-1. Tonight in the SJ, Battleford's at Estevan, Notre Dame at Weyburn. And that is Sports on Tap for the Tap Brew Pub and Eatery, Regina's only drive-through beer and wine store. Well, I've been trying to get this guy on for, a couple of weeks since they won the Vanier Cup 27-13 over the Montreal Quebec at Laval. Head coach of the UFC Dinos, Wayne Harris Jr., joining us today from the Dinos facility, as you see. Coach Harris, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we got to get the speakers turned down there. Clark, is that what you were dealing with? Can you hear us all right, Wayne?
I can hear you.
Okay, we're good. Wayne, how does it feel? Very simple question. You're probably getting it a ton around Calgary and in the football community. How does it feel to say national champions?
Well, strive for it. It's a great feeling. I was there in 95, so it's a long time coming, 24 years. Very excited for our players, our coaches, the alumni, the Fifth Quarter Association, everybody involved who supported us through the years.
Can you talk about the makeup of that roster and what it means? I mean, I don't watch every Dinos game. I watched a few. I watched the national championship on CBC, but Adam Sinagra, the story, the Quebec kid, the Philpott brothers, it just seemed like a really special group.
They definitely were. They came together as a team. They'd gone through some of those challenges, losing back in 2016. Adam had experience as a freshman that year to play in that game. And, some other key leaders in our program, Dallas Both and Hunter Carl, who had been through that as well, brought that leadership to our program this year and kept the guys focused on all the right things.
Hey, Wayne, congratulations. Wish I could have been there in Montreal with you guys. It's fun to watch the journey, and I know we haven't spoken since, but I know this feels good for you guys. But, you know, just is it more a sense of, man, this feels so good, or is it a combination of relief? Because you've had such great teams. You've got the program in such a great spot over the last dozen years. But to get over the hump, it's got to feel really good.
All the relief, all of the challenges, the four previous appearances without winning, it finally came all together and definitely feel a lot of weight off your shoulders when you accomplish that.
No kidding. How much credit how much did the alumni contribute? Because I know you got Andrew Buckley, who's hanging around that team. Jake Hardy, who's injured and not being able to be with the Riders. He's there almost every day. And even a guy like Mercer Timmis is back with, hanging around. How much, because those guys were all part of the great years and never got to experience the Vanier win.
No, they didn't. But they've been great supporters of the program. Andrew's out there on a regular basis. Eric Glavik, both helped Adam in the coaching of the quarterbacks. So they've done a fantastic job. Mercer Timmis certainly does his part. He helps with recruiting and is back in school here. So it's great to have all of those alumni who have been through it all. They are also excited and very happy for everyone in the program.
I know you're going to go Addison. Those are all the guys you played against, right?
Oh, yeah. I know those guys quite well.
Addison Richards has a question for you here, Wayne.
Yeah, good morning, Wayne. Just congrats again on winning it all. Just noticed that you signed a local product, Regina boy, Ethan Ball. Just wanted to get your take on what kind of player you think he's going to be for you guys.
Well, we look forward to Ethan joining our program. He's a great receiver, has great speed, and catches the ball well. He was a leader for the Riffle football program, and we're very excited to have him join us here in Calgary.
We're kind of jumping all around, Wayne, but I wanted to ask you about the journey this year on the way to the Vanier Cup. It was, you guys lost, they lost to Manitoba, did they not? Which was like the death knell for the Rams. What did you learn in those late season games about your club? Were they blessings dressed up as mini disasters?
Well, we learned about resiliency. We learned about not taking anything for granted, being focused on the task and the game, one game at a time. We definitely did not play very well when we went into Manitoba, but they're also a very good football team, and they took advantage of us that day and did a great job. But our guys fought through a lot of adversity this year, and that really helped when we started getting some players back down the playoff stretch.
How did you feel about the parity in Canada West this year? Because it seemed like it was pretty high, and what do you expect for it next year?
Well, I always say Canada West is the toughest conference because of the parity. Even when we had some 8-0 seasons, those games didn't come easy, and the games were a lot closer than what the scoreboard might appear sometimes. So anybody can beat anybody at any given day in Canada West, and you know, we certainly saw that in our two losses this year in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, and definitely some close games in the playoffs. You know, you can't count anybody out. Manitoba put a big scare into us in that semifinal on the last play of the game.
Well, Wayne, I appreciate the time. I'll say congratulations again. And can you thank your equipment guys for this? It was the first gift we got for our desk. We adorn it proudly every day. Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas, sir. Good luck in 2020.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone. And thank you for having me on your show.
Awesome. Wayne Harris joining us from Calgary, the head coach of the Dinos football program, national champions. And can you tell that story again? Where were you that they came up with this helmet and said?
It's Johnny Carr. I mean, he's tireless, the work he puts in. Bob's the same way with the Rams, and those guys are kind of buddies totally in that circle. And what's cool about those guys is they all try and one-up each other. And what it does is it just makes the product and the environment so much better for the players when they're always trying to one-up each other on, you know, jerseys and helmets. And I know Johnny's got, he had a black Dinos helmet, and he puts the helmet in Wayne Harris's office every day. So he sees it every day because he's trying to convince him that we got to get the black ones.
That's hot.
And so, yeah, it's really cool. So they haven't decided. He hasn't gotten Wayne Harris to sign off on the black helmet, but that's what he did with the white ones that they have with the kind of the raptor claws.
Are nice.
Those are nice.
Real nice.
But he had that sitting right beside Wayne's desk day after day after day to convince him to give him a chance to do the white, because teams don't want to change from their standard, right? And so I know the Rams, the Dinos, they got some of the nicest uniforms in the country.
That last camera shot, can you put it back on there, Jordan? Jordan Blodgett, and this won't be of any use to our listeners, audio on podcasts or listen live. Can you go back to that last shot? I can see why Stu Grimson, oh no, the second last shot, there.
Okay.
Why people thought that the desk was on fire. I totally get it now. You're melting my laptop.
But I assure you, Celeste and I, we laid each one of those bricks by hand. They're up to code. We had the fire department come in and check it. It's fire safe. We're good.
This is the fireplace at the front of the Rod Peterson Show desk. For those that are listening, you're going to have to tune us in 10 to noon every day live on Facebook Live, the video, Central Time. Addison, anything else before we let you go?
No, this was great. Great to be back again. Yeah, good commentary for sure.
Can we expect you more?
I think so. Yeah,
good.
Get out of finals alive, and then we'll be back.
Okay, good. Sure. We've got gift cards for you from Ballers Rec Room and the Tap. You are a football player and an athlete, so I know you'll use them well.
Of course. No, always appreciate it.
All right, Dupes and I back for overtime right after this break on the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. 2018 F-150 XLT 4x4s are starting at just $29,999 plus tax. Plus, our entire inventory of used trucks is on sale. Ford, Chevy, Ram, and more. It's the most wonderful time of year at Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store. Capital Ford Pre-Owned in Regina.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program. The OT refresher for Emerald Water. Emerald YQR. Dupes with me back here in the bunker. I'm the host. He's the co-host. I'm Marner. He's Matthews.
All right. You gave me Matthews. That's impressive.
Because I don't care for him.
How gracious of you. The season of giving.
Of the two, he's the one I dislike the least.
Okay.
Did they quit last night?
Yeah.
The Leafs?
Oh, they did. Yeah, they quit.
Wow.
Once it really got to 2-1.
I don't like using that term.
It wasn't good. They knew they... But they didn't... It's weird because they're not quitting on the coach. Like, it's not that kind of a situation, but... Yeah, they definitely, they played really well, and Carter Hart was frustrating to them last night because he was good. And it's good to see Carter Hart playing well coming from
Western Hockey. He's the next one. He's got to be the next one in Canadian, the goal for Canada.
I think so. I really do. He's playing phenomenal. I know Philadelphia is typically a goalie graveyard, but he seems like the guy who might be able to change that.
We do have a text here from Leonard on Stephen McAdoo, and we'll get to that in a moment. But when I jumped up here in the last break, ran to the washroom, we had a video playing here of Colin Priestner, the general manager of the Saskatoon Blades. Or he's now the president, right? Priestner?
He's a GM, yeah.
I thought Hilty was.
Well, Hilty's the assistant GM.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter.
So I kind of said, there's your boy, Dupes. Because we always joke that you're the big Blades fan.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And supporter. And you said that interview might have been the kiss of death because the team struggled since.
Yeah.
And I looked up their record. I was checking the dub standings. Like, PA is way out in front. They're still a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Hats off to Habby and Hunsie. But the Blades are struggling, and is it just because Kirby Doc's not there?
Yeah.
That's the biggest reason?
That's the biggest reason. It is, and it's tough because you're just missing that top line. And so you had Kirby Doc, you had Ryan Hughes at one point, too, and I know that was a 20-year-old situation they had to clean up, and they chose Riley McKay, who's a good player, too. But when you have Hughes, you got Doc, now you're one trade away. And you don't have to empty out a lot of assets. You're one trade away from having maybe the best top line in junior hockey. Now he's not there. You're forced to deal Hughes. And now you don't have a top line. And so now you're looking at possibly making three moves, really emptying the closet to get that top line back. That really puts a wrench in everything. So, yeah, it's a big deal that Kirby Doc didn't come back. And that puts a wrench in the whole plan. And when you're setting up for a 1 or 2 year run, you know, that the Blades were... Now you have to reassess the whole thing. And that's a tough position for Colin Priestner to be in. And we'll see how he and Hilty and the rest of the group come out of it.
Well, things are, as far as trade deadline goes, it's almost like crunch time. I know it's a month away. Can I just say this? The fact that Nolan Meyer was not invited to the World Junior Tryout Camp might be a good thing. Because you know those, because for the years, no team in the CHLs had more players on Team Canada than the Regina Pats. Nobody.
Yeah.
And because I was with the club for 15 years, I know how much that hurts a team when you lose your best players for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So can the Blades actually capitalize on the fact that some players in the conference are gone, do you think?
Yeah, perhaps.
Use it as a positive.
Perhaps they can. It's not going to be a big group of Western Hockey League players playing for Team Canada this year, I don't think. But... Yeah, they can capitalize for sure, and they just got to get back together. I know the U.S. trip was a tough one for them, but the U.S. trip, and I know some fans are kind of down because there was some bad scores, but the U.S. trip's tough for everybody from the East. Nobody really does well when they go out there to the American division, and it's a good division again this year. So, yeah, it's good. And Joel Holfer, you mentioned, I know you did the dub scores. He had the shutout last night for Portland, in the win, and he used to play with Swift Current. He's got a real shot to make Team Canada and potentially contribute, so excited for that.
I'm really realizing how old I am, but I'm also realizing how lucky I am, and here's why. There's talk that the WHL is going to go no interlocking, split East and West, not play each other in the regular season, and won't until the league final, the Edmonton Cup. All strictly because of cost. It's very expensive to go down there. The Western teams don't want the Eastern teams in their building. I'm actually surprised that it's taken this long. When I first started in the league, we went and did the whole West Conference, BC, Washington, and Oregon, all in one shot every year.
Yeah.
But there was only seven teams in that whole conference. So one of the highlights for me is that West Coast trip every year. Because you're in the new barns, the weather's generally better. It's a lot of fun. But if they're not even doing that anymore, I wouldn't miss it.
And the every 2 year trip to the States, you know.
They've split the interlocking as it is, and I'm just hearing that they're going to go do away with it all together. And I totally get why.
Yeah.
But just back to things aren't as good as they used to be. That's a fact. That's not just something old people say. I'm going to have to split pretty soon because I'm going for lunch with Lynch. And a couple of show sponsors from TG Marketing.
Exciting.
But Leonard writes in, he says, with Stephen McAdoo, you can make cases why he should stay or should go. Because they improved their record from last year, but he should go because of the call in the game against Winnipeg was so terrible. Thank you, Leonard. I feel like the captain obvious guy we can put on, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's up to Craig Dickinson and Jeremy O'Day to decide what. You're right, Leonard. Did the pros outweigh the cons, or the cons outweigh the pros?
Yeah.
And I still don't know as we sit here today. If I was a betting man, I would think there'll be a change. But they don't want to make, they don't change coordinator positions lightly.
No, you don't. And I think, you know, they're going to have to determine what's you know, more integral to Cody Fajardo's success, and how much is it Stephen McAdoo in his ear and with him, or is Stephen McAdoo more, you know, running the offense, and it's coach Steve Walsh who's right there, and Fajardo's, you know, confidant or whatever you want to call him. Who's more important, and what change is going to be the biggest change for Cody to deal with? And I think that's going to be the biggest question. And if it's Walsh that's the biggest one, then find a way to keep him. And I'm okay making the move with McAdoo, but you got to be careful. You know, you don't want to upset the apple cart.
Producer Clark points out the Pats demolished teams when Sam Steele got cut as an 18-year-old back when Hobbs and Wagner didn't get invited to camp. It's kind of what I'm saying here. The Blades would have an opportunity. Can you put up the next 2 days? So if you missed off the outset of the show, this is not a joke. Nick Lewis will be in this chair tomorrow. Nick Lewis, the CFL receiving king, will be hosting the show.
Not a broadcaster. A player. No, but like...
He's a player. Oh. He's a coach. But he's also a broadcaster. He's going to be a broadcaster. He's been a broadcaster. Nick Lewis, the CFL receiving king, taking over the show. As he calls it, the player takeover. I'm all for it. And joining him will be Chris Getzlaff tomorrow. Damon Allen. John Bowman. Joaquin Bradley, former Hamilton Tiger Cat DB. Ryan Phillips was an absolute rider killer for years. BC Lions dimebacker.
Yeah.
And the Silver Fox will be in here as well, helping out Slick Nick. And then Friday, we'll be live from Houston with George Cortez joining us from the Doubletree by the Galleria. Don Narcisse will be with us. And then also on the Garrick Jones will be joining us, NFL alumni, former CFLer, Jackie Mitchell. It's just going to be big old times. And we're very lucky that we got this Texas high school football playoff semifinal, state semifinal that we're going to. That's just fallen into our lap.
Yeah.
And the nicest football stadium in America, high school football stadium in America, in Katy, Texas, Bo Levi Mitchell's hometown. Going there, got the NFL, we got two NBA games, we got a Nassau trip. We're just so darn lucky. It's the trip to be on.
Oh, it really is. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait. I can't wait. We're all checked in, ready to roll. So get a good sleep and we'll see you in the morning.
Okay. We will. Well, you'll see Nick Lewis in this chair tomorrow at 10. I'll see you Friday morning, 10 a.m. Central, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.